Introducing Tools for Living Your Fullest Life. This is Life's Toolbox with Kenny Brixey on Empower Radio. Now, here's your host, Kenny Brixey.
Welcome to Life's Toolbox, where each week we introduce tools that will assist you in opening awareness to your own incredible awesomeness and empower your journey to authentic living. Thank you so much for tuning into the show. The tool for today's show is Make an Empowering Difference. Each and every one of us has the ability to make empowering and positive changes and differences in this world. This may sound huge, however, it does not have to be. It doesn't have to be a huge effort or a huge project. Even the smallest of positive actions and behaviors can make a tremendous difference in the world around us, and even globally. If you want to affect change on a global level, you certainly can do that. You can pick a project of global proportions. Just as we were coming on air, my producer and I were talking about climate change and the things that we can do. It can be small things that make a difference. However, you can make personal choices that make huge differences as well. Whether it's a global or a personal change or difference that you choose to make, your first step does not have to be gargantuan. You know, that's the thing about it. Most of us think that we have to make these huge strides to affect positive change. It can start small. You know, it's said that a hurricane begins as a flutter of a butterfly wing on the coast of Africa and becomes a storm as it moves across the Atlantic Ocean. You know, whether the butterfly theory is accurate or not, the fact is that those gigantic storms we see entering the Gulf of Mexico or running up the Atlantic seaboard all begin as a rain event on the other side of the Atlantic. So it starts small and works its way into something really big. Oh, and by the way, the growth of those storms is the only comparison to hurricanes I want to make here. The results of the differences I'm asking you to choose will hopefully all serve greater good and not be destructive in any way. Whether you consciously choose to affect change around you or not, you affect change. You do not make a difference in the world by doing nothing. I mean, let me rephrase that, because that's gonna be harder to explain. Let me say it this way. Whatever you do does make a difference in the world. You may think you're not making a difference or affecting change, but you are. The difference that you make in this world is going to happen whether you intend positive change or whether you intend nothing at all. Your behaviors elicit change in one way or another. That's fact, folks. Even the energy of your thoughts will influence those around you, and in that, you are affecting change in this world. Many people don't believe they have the power to affect positive change. They believe their thoughts hold no power at all. They do. Two of the greatest teachers and influencers in my life, Gail Luster and Ron Lambert, demonstrated an incredibly value lesson 24 years ago to me. Since that time, I've used that same demonstration to show the power of thoughts to hundreds and maybe even thousands of people. In the demonstration, I asked for a volunteer who believes they have good upper body strength to come forward to the front of the room with me, and I have them stand facing away from the rest of the group, and then I have them hold their arms out to their sides, and then they resist me as I try to push their arm, their dormant arm, down to their side. This first one was just a baseline test. Now, the real demonstration comes now. I then tell the volunteer and the group to just relax and to clear their thoughts. The volunteer now, keep in mind, is still looking away from the group. They have no visible means of communicating with the group. I then ask the entire room, everyone in the room, for the rest of the demonstration to just be completely silent. I then hold up a sign, and I ask the group to read this sign, and I ask them to believe that what this sign says is the truth of that volunteer. The first sign says, "You are weak and worthless." I asked the group to believe for a moment that that's true about this volunteer. And then I asked the volunteer to hold their arms up again and prevent me from pushing their arms to their side. Every single time, I'm able to push their arm to their side with just two fingers. Their arm goes all the way to their side with little or no effort on my part at all. I again instruct everyone to relax, clear their minds, and then I ask them to read the next sign that I'm holding up and believe that to be true for the volunteer. This sign says you are strong and worthy. I turned back to the volunteer. I asked them to resist again. I am now unable to pull their arm down. I did this with a college football team once, and the guy who volunteered was absolutely huge. You know, I wondered for a moment if the demonstration might fail. It did not. It worked as well with this giant of a man as it did every other time I did it. In fact, I've used this demonstration in every group event I have facilitated for these 24 years, and it has never failed. I even switch up the signs sometimes and use the positive one first. Just kind of bounce it around. It still works every time. Your thoughts have power and affect everything around you, just as the group's thoughts affect the volunteers. So be careful what you think and believe. You know, if you have someone in your life that you think is a jerk, well, your thoughts are empowering the jerk behaviors that you're experiencing. So change the way you think about people, especially those difficult people in your life, and see what happens. What you do, even what you think and what you believe, makes a difference. Even when it seems that what you do affects no one, it does. Sometimes you may actually see some effect with the few people around you. Sometimes you see big effects. Sometimes those effects are immediate. Sometimes those effects may take a day or two to happen. Sometimes they happen so gradually that you find it difficult to notice any change at all. Just know this, you are making a difference. So be mindful of the difference that you make. Like the hurricane, the difference you make and the energy you project grow. This is what I mean, many people call the ripple effect. It's not just me. I didn't coin that phrase, but a lot of people call this the ripple effect. Just imagine, you're throwing a stone out into the still waters of a pond. The number of ripples grow as they expand out from the initial point of contact. When you make changes, have thoughts, and initiate positive difference in your own personal space, the effects radiate out from you. There's a study that's been questioned many times by great scientific minds over the years. However, the observation of this study holds true no matter what these great minds try to use to explain it away. The study was done by a group of Japanese scientists, I believe it was in the early 70s, who called it the 100 monkey theory. You may have heard of this. In this study, the scientists reported observing a group of monkeys where one monkey began a new behavior. This monkey began taking its mango to the ocean. Sometimes scientists believe the monkey was washing it off. Others thought he was just playing with it, making a game of it. Regardless, the monkey was taking its mango to the ocean, dipping it in the water, playing with it, washing it, whatever it was doing, and then at that point he would eat it, or she. After a while, another monkey began following this behavior, and then another, and then another. At one point, each monkey in that colony began this behavior. Eventually, the number of monkeys practicing this behavior reached what the scientists called the critical mass. I've read this critical mass number for this study was the 100th monkey. Don't know how accurate that number is, but that's why this theory has the name 100 monkey. At the point of critical mass, a type of global consciousness begins to resonate out from the original colony, and the behavior began being observed in other colonies of monkeys on other islands that had no direct contact with the original colony. In fact, they had no contact whatsoever with the original colony, yet they still picked up the behavior. I also read a similar study about the rattlesnakes in western Texas. Now, us crazy Texans down here, not me, but a lot of us crazy Texans, have this thing called a rattlesnake roundup every year, and where they basically just go out and collect all the rattlesnakes they can find. Don't know why. It's pretty crazy. But anyway, at this rattlesnake roundup a few years ago, it was reported by some of the participants that the rattlesnakes had stopped using their rattles as warning signs, and then they just struck. They just bit without warning. It started out with just a few of them and eventually grew to an overwhelming majority, and then the behavior was actually being reported in other areas of wherever these rattlesnakes live, over West Texas and beyond. So, what do hurricanes and monkeys and rattlesnakes have to do with our tool for today? Well, it is this. What you send out, even if you do not intend for it to be sent out, is seen and felt by others. When we begin a practice or make a change in behavior, others observe it, and many times they pick up on that behavior for themselves. So since this is happening anyway, my challenge to you is to make a mindful and positive change. Begin an empowering new behavior. Make a powerful shift in the world. Like I said, the reports I mentioned earlier have been disputed many times, and even if they are proven to be false, the fact remains that we have an energy field that projects beyond our physical bodies. In fact, that energy field projects anywhere from 8 to 12 feet beyond our physical bodies. The energy, the electromagnetic energy of our bodies can be measured 8 to 12 feet beyond our physical bodies. Our energy field connects with the energy fields of others and affects those people with whatever energy we are emitting. So, the first thing you can do to make a positive difference in this world is to create positive empowering changes in your own life. Begin with empowering thoughts. Begin with kindness. Begin with love. Even if that is all you do, you know, doing that on a personal level, you are affecting change in this world, and positive change. The positive energy you emit will begin to resonate with the energy of others, and they too will begin to emit positive and empowering energy. Lead by example comes to mind here. You know, one of the barriers that keeps us from consciously making a difference comes when we are making great strides to make that difference, and then nobody seems to be jumping on board. We become discouraged and we fall back into our old ways of thinking and acting. Do not let that hinder you. Keep making a difference. Even if you are the only one doing it, you are at least lifting the energy in your own life. And in doing that, you're lifting the energy of the world. It is worth it. Simply by empowering positive behaviors and thoughts in your own life, you enrich your life experience. You enrich the experience of life for others. Can't help it. It's just going to happen. The next thing we can do to make a difference in this world is to be congruent in our communication. I truly believe when we learn how to communicate properly and openly, we will have no more conflict. Our arguments will disappear. And I believe when we truly communicate, when we find a way to understand and be understood, war will even cease. Division between people and cultures will heal. We will truly become a united people. Open and honest communication can overcome every problem that we have in this world. When we learn how to openly and honestly communicate, we make a huge, empowering, and loving difference in this world. Can't help it. It's going to happen. Now, communication goes far beyond how we speak. It's how we listen as well. In fact, the listening part is even more important than the speaking part. I teach and practice the art of listening to understand first, more so than being understood. Sure, at some point, to have complete communication, we must be understood, just as we must understand. However, we usually want to be understood first is kind of the dynamics that we normally portray. This leads to many arguments or conversations that yield little to no results. You know, how many conversations have you had that you walked away from it feeling as if nothing was accomplished? Seek to understand first. And then once you understand, you will be able to find ways to be understood. Now, let's talk about the speaking part first. It actually ties in with what we've been talking about around the actions that I suggested earlier. The breakdown of effective communication percentages goes like this. The words we speak only make up 7%. Of our effective communication. Now, this one scares me a bit with the popularity and the massive use of text and email. You know, when we're texting and emailing, all we have to go on are the words that we use. That's only 7% of effective communication. When we add into that the text lingo and the abbreviations that people use, I really believe that this percentage comes down significantly. I haven't seen a report on that, but I'd bet money that our effectiveness drops. This is one reason I still type out each word. And when I do text or email, you can count on it. You're not going to find any lingo. You're not going to find any abbreviations. It's going to be full words. And that's the only reason I do that. All right. 38% of effective communication is our tone of voice. So remember this the next time you choose to text over making a phone call. When you make that phone call, you increase your effective communication significantly. Well, the 38%. Now, the remainder of effective communication is body language, and that's at 55%. I think I did my math correct there. People are observing what you do, and you are sending a message all the time. If you get face-to-face with someone, or at least have a Skype video call or FaceTime or one of the other cool new technology tools that we have, you elevate your chance for a real, complete, authentic communication. Now, as much as our body language can help with communications, it can deter as well. We have to be very, very careful with this. Have you ever gone in to talk with your spouse or your parent or your boss, and as you begin speaking, they turn around and they fold their arms over their chest and then look at you? Think back for a moment how that felt. You might have felt that they didn't care, or that you were bothering them. You may have felt unheard or dismissed. Most likely, you felt one, if not all, of these. And of course, the list of feelings and negative effects to this go, it's much longer than what I've just mentioned. Sure, they could have been cold, and crossing their arms to stay warm. That could be a comfortable position for them. But it has been proven that folding your arms across your chest limits what you hear. As the speaker, if you're speaking, if you stand with your arms folded across your chest, you're closing off the lines of communication just as much. The recipient of your words may be feeling as all those things that I mentioned earlier. When you fold your arms across your chest, you greatly limit the communication that occurs. So another body language habit some of us have is standing with our hands on our hips. Folks, this can come across as a threat. Some people feel threatened, some feel intimidated, some feel bullied just by the way you're standing. You may be speaking from your heart. This stance speaks 55% of that communication. While it's not your responsibility how others perceive your stance or how they perceive your communication, it is your responsibility to communicate your side of the conversation in a way that it can be understood. So next time, communicate with body language that is open and ready to receive, and see where this communication goes this time. Show the person you're speaking with that you are ready to listen and speak in a way that leads to understanding. All right, so that's kind of the speaking part. Now let's get to the listening part real quickly. I love this part because it's actually fun to learn. I've been an avid student of communication for more than 20 years, and during this time, I've looked for ways to listen. What I found over all of this research and this study and everything is that there's more ways not to listen. There's really only one true way to listen, but there, to date, I found 17 habits that we have that prevent us from listening. 17. Now, the ways not to listen are these. I'm going to run through them quickly, and I want to challenge you to listen to them and see which ones strike a nerve. Okay? Rehearsing. That's the first one. Rehearsing is when we think about what we're going to say next before the other person is even through talking. When we do this, we don't hear what's being said. The next one is dreaming, pretending to listen while living in a fantasy instead of being present. Deny content and or feelings. This is telling someone how they should or should not feel in a situation. Denying the content of the conversation is what this amounts to. Derailing, also known as changing the subject, laughing it off, making light of the conversation. Counterattacking, an attempt to neutralize input that you do not want to hear. Evaluating and judging. The mental or emotional act of looking down on someone or finding fault with that person. Sparring. This is arguing or debating. No real intention to communicate. It's just, let's get in here and let's knock it around a little bit. The next one is nitpicking. This is picking a small aspect of the person or their topic and finding fault. The fault becomes the main focus instead of the content of the conversation. Now, this one resonates with me because I have done it, and I hate it when people do it to me, and it's being right. Well, I've done several of these, but to be honest, this one is one of the ones. Being right. This is like sparring, only with a deeper self-esteem issue on the line. In order to be right, you must make the other person wrong. No communication. The next one is being philosophical. You've all got friends that do that. You may even do this. This is giving a response that's so broad and sweeping that it does nothing to contribute to the purpose of the conversation. Giving advice. Often this is done in a superior, self-important manner. In order to give advice, you partake in the rehearsing that we talked about earlier, and you have truly not listened. Identifying. Using what others are saying to launch your own story. Expressing pity. Feeling sorry for the other person. This serves absolutely no purpose in getting resolution to the issue. You know, we sometimes confuse expressing pity with empathy or compassion. It's not. Okay. The next one is defending the third party. Defending third party is basically just trying to, it comes across sometimes, we start this one trying to help the person we're talking to see other options, but it comes across as we're defending that third person, and in doing that, we're denying what the speaker is feeling. Whatever you want is the next one. This is saying whatever it is that you think the other person wants to hear. Bullying is the next one. This is forcing your point of view to another and repeating it or devaluing the other person when they try to open their mouth with a differing view. And then the last one is kind of a new one. It's the high-tech diss. This is texting, emailing, Facebooking, Twittering, Instagramming your way through a conversation. No matter how good a listener you are, the other person feels devalued and insignificant when you're doing one of these things while they're trying to speak. Now, I bet you heard at least one of those that hits home for you, probably more. Some you hate. You hate it when they do it, when it's being done to you. And I bet you, if you're real honest, you're going to find some of those that you do to others. So just tune into that. The only way to truly, authentically communicate and listen to understand is called the love model. A dear friend of mine developed this or introduced it to me anyway. And folks, it really works. Love stands for listen openly, validate equally. Using the love model allows you to identify emotions by asking open-ended questions to find the emotion behind the conversation and statement. It opens you to listen to the story and hear what's truly being said. Allow the person to tell their story, and it's perfectly okay to say, please give me the laser version. Pay attention. Pay attention to their nonverbal signals. And then paraphrase back to them what you just heard. This lets them know that they have been heard. And then also, it's very important to let the sender work out their own problems. You know, we tend to jump in there and try to fix everything, especially those of you who are caregivers and loving and compassionate. Folks, it doesn't help them at all if you try to fix their own problem. Let them work it out. Be there as a guide, as a support. Ask questions that allow them to work out their own deals. And when you're asking those questions, be sure to avoid why questions. The word why, it puts the receiver on the defensive no matter what the situation is. The word why just kind of tells us to put up our walls, and then we shut down communication. Thich Nhat Hanh offered a beautiful key to authentic communication when he said, the most precious gift we can offer others is our presence. When mindfulness embraces those we love, they will blossom like flowers. I just love that. So make an empowering difference in the world. On a personal level, on a global level, or both, let your actions be positive and uplifting. Let your communications be authentic and true. And folks, beyond a shadow of a doubt, you will impact this world greatly. So make an empowering difference in the world. It's easy. It's positive. It's beautiful. Do it. Make a difference. Be a part of it. Before we go, I want to tell you about a new program I'm offering for those of you wanting to enrich your relationships. It is called Elevating Relationships. While this new program is designed for intimate relationships, everyone can get something out of this. This is a free 21-day program, and you will receive an email each day discussing tools, considerations, and ideas for sacred behaviors that you can bring into your relationship that will enrich you, your partner, and the relationship itself. The program begins on January 22nd, so next week. It begins, and it wraps up just in time for Valentine's Day. Give yourself and your partner the gift of an enriched experience of each other. Even if your partner does not choose to join us, you can still amp up your experience of you, them, and the relationship. The links to register are up on my social media pages and my website. And I hope you join us. It's going to be great. Thank you so much for listening today. I invite you to follow Life's Toolbox Facebook page and be sure to check out my website. That's where you're going to find the registration information. My website is www.kennybrixey.com. You'll also find out about all the other cool stuff I do, too. My deepest gratitude goes out to Brent Carey for creating this amazing resource for empowered living that is Empower Radio. Also, thanks to my producer, Mark. He's an amazing member of the Empower Radio family and an awesome producer for Life's Toolbox and several other Empower Radio shows as well. Be sure to listen to some of the other shows here on Empower Radio. And find one that's going to touch your heart and then share it. And in that, you're also changing. You're making a difference in this world, a very empowering and positive difference. Until next week and beyond, folks, make an empowering difference. You will positively affect your experience of life and the experience of others. Love and peace.